Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I found no worth, you paid it all. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it. And I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. And oh, the chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
And now I'm going to invite Amber up.
Good morning for the third time. Maybe the fifth or sixth if I welcomed you in at the door. Yeah, sit down. Sorry. Well, my name's Amber Sue, as you may or may not remember. I am majoring in youth ministry at Olivet Nazarene University. It is my sophomore year, so pretty excited for this upcoming semester. Fun fact about me, I love people. I realized at Sunday school we were talking about our hobbies, and I really think that God has allowed one of my hobbies to be getting to know people. I love it. I love hearing people and their story and just getting to know them, and I really have a passion for that. So thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for allowing me to preach in front of your congregation this morning. I know how much of a big deal that must be. Like, he's the pastor. You are his, you're his people. he cares about you all. And so I'm very privileged. And I hope with this sermon that, you know, God just speaks to you in the way that you need to hear that. Many of you may or may not know the passage that I'm reading from today, but I'm going to be reading from John 4. If you guys have Bibles, Bible apps, or if you just want to follow along, I have the scripture up on the slide as well. I'm not going to read it just yet. I have a little introduction. I wonder if some of you can relate when I say it's hard being an outcast. I struggled with wanting to fit in during middle school, and I don't think it's a bad thing, but because I felt like an outcast, I thought that my actions didn't affect anyone other than myself. I also didn't grow up in a Christian-loving home, like many of you may or may have not experienced. My parents would often say, well, she'll do whatever she wants. Whenever I had gotten in trouble, my careless actions resulted in bullying by my freshman year of high school, and some girls had even written about me on the bathroom walls. I felt hurt by the labels other students had given me. While crying in the hallway, feeling hopeless, my eighth grade teacher held and prayed for me, eventually invited me to church, and on April 9th, 2017, I gave my life to Christ. So, yeah. Praise be to God. And so now we can start off reading one of my favorite passages, John 4, starting at verse 1. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near a plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from that journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. I can bet some of you may or may not know the walking distance from Judea to Samaria is about 55 miles. That might not be too far on your car, but on your legs, I can guarantee a 19-hour walk will do ya. You'll want to sit down like Jesus did. Which reminds us that Jesus is human, which we're very thankful for. If we were to walk from the south rim to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, have any of you guys been to the Grand Canyon? You have? Okay, a few people. Awesome. I went a couple years ago, and that was a great experience. Very beautiful, and it was amazing to see just God's creation from a different view. Really? That's awesome. Well, if we were to walk from the south rim to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, that would be even shorter than the distance, with being only 5 hours. So we start with a question. Why? Why is Jesus walking this far? Especially into a town, if not all but Jews, during this time would avoid. The scripture says Jesus had to go through Samaria, which leads us to our answer. We can assume that there is someone in Samaria that needs him, whether they know it or not. Let's keep reading, starting at verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He said, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." The first thing I want to address about this section is that we must remember that these are different times. This is a strange interaction that took place in the first century, where women had no rights or values, and not only that, but rabbis especially would not be talking to them. Even though this woman would have been considered someone with the wrong background and duly not lived perfect, this conversation was no accident. Jesus knew this woman's real need. Hardly anybody would go to get water at the well in the middle of the day. People would typically go at a time where it was cooler. This Samaritan woman we read about lived in fear of judgment. People speculate that she would probably go during the hottest part of the day because she figured no one would be there, so that she didn't have to face other people's discrimination for her lifestyle and the mistakes that she had made. I think we can all relate to that at least a little bit. She knew that she needed water to live. She did the work and put in the effort for a necessity. When she had the opportunity, even though it may have seemed unbelievable, she wanted it. This woman had a desire for what she thought was physical water and understood its value. If you don't know, the living water she was offered was referring to the eternal life Jesus offers us all. Sorry, we need a loose place. Like water, we need God daily. And God wants to give us all that we need. But some of us are still choosing to walk around dehydrated. We all get thirsty, whether the thirst be from validation or acceptance. Time and time again, we've all tried to fill our thirst. But God has always been more than enough. If you can switch to the next slide. While reading Lisa Whistle's book, Jesus Over Everything, she writes, "If Jesus had met us like the woman at the well, he would have encountered imperfect backgrounds in a lifetime of trying to figure out the best way of not letting those things show. We too would be refreshed by something far deeper than the physical water we drink, drinking in the endless supply of Jesus, who gives us the real thing, himself." God's living water is not only refreshing, but it also makes us feel better. It's good for the soul, and it reminds us of our purpose. Jumping back to verse 27, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." And he said to them, "I have food that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work." What I love so much about this section is the woman's response to what Jesus had revealed to her, that he was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. She was so excited that she left her physical water to go back to where she was filled with spiritual water. She left her physical water to go back and talk about how she was filled with spiritual water that transformed her because of Jesus. The shame she had once associated with these people was the last thing on her mind, and I can imagine her feeling what she had just experienced was worth sharing to any and everyone that was willing, instead of her keeping it to herself or only sharing it with people she felt comfortable with. When I get excited about something, I feel that the Lord is teaching me. I share it with others, whether it be my classmates, my professors, my friends, the people that I go to Bible study with, the youth group that I intern for, the people that I work with. Whenever an unbeliever asks me why I follow Christ, I have no agenda for trying to convert them, just the realness of God's love and grace. I find it interesting that when the disciples come back, they choose not to question about why he's speaking to this woman, and I believe it's because they understood that she was the reason why they stopped in this town full of unclean people. When the disciples offered Jesus physical food, they meant no harm. They meant no harm. They just thought it's what he needed. But as we know from Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone. I actually don't think I have a slide for that one. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Proclaiming and living the gospel brings true fulfillment to us believers. But I know some of us, myself included, sometimes miss out on giving people a drink because we might feel that we have to be known or popular or to have a social media platform with thousands of followers or just to let other people do it because we tell ourselves we're not good enough. Whatever that reason may be, let me remind you that we are all called to go and make disciples, Matthew 29, verses 9 and 20. Finishing up reading verses 39 and 41, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did," and because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. This woman didn't necessarily know all the answers. She probably wasn't an expert on the Old Testament scriptures. She likely doesn't know the ins and outs of the atonement or how it all technically works, but she had an encounter with Jesus. She was changed and then told others without fear, and they were intrigued enough to go for themselves to seek him. The Samaritan woman was a sinner like us. She encountered Jesus. She had faith and believed the truth of his words, and for that, she was changed. And her inclination to immediately share the good news should be an example for us all. I had talked to the Sunday school a little bit, just sharing my testimony. And we also talked about how the Bible is living. And we talked about how every time we read scripture, we could get a different understanding of it, which I'm very thankful for. And while I was reading during the sermon, I remembered that in verses 27, that when he says, when she like questions Jesus, like, why are you asking me for a drink? That's my testimony. Why are you calling me to ministry? I don't have a clean slate. I grew up with hard, loving parents. I grew up smoking and drinking and partying and fighting. Why all of a sudden am I here at a church preaching? How did I get here? And I think when Jesus is asking you for a drink and asking me for a drink, that we can sometimes be blinded by maybe the hurt that we've caused ourselves or the hurt that people have caused us. And that can separate our relationship a little bit with the church and how we go about dealing with our own sins and go about dealing with the ministry that God calls us to. And I'm so thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful that I do not have to rely on myself to write these sermons, at least not myself alone, because if I had to do this alone, I would be a mess, and I'm sure that your pastor and many of you can agree with that. So, congregation, I challenge you to not only forgive yourself for maybe the mistakes that you have made, but to leave here changed by an example that this Samaritan woman and myself has set for you, that when you let go of all of the responsibilities that you have to do on your own and just let Jesus be your guide and your example to how you live and treat others, it goes a lot smoothly. So I'll invite Haley up and I'll pray for you guys, and I'll leave the rest to your pastor. So Haley, if you want to come up and I'll just pray. Are there any prayer requests? Is there anything that I need to be praying? Yeah. Yeah. One more time. Does anyone know? Can someone? His grandma can't walk. Okay. Okay, I'll be praying for that. Is there any other prayer requests that need to just be any instant? Okay, I'll just pray really quick. Do you want to just play a song on the guitar? Let's bow our heads or go into whatever posture you need for this time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much again for the opportunity to be here and for the opportunity just to speak to this congregation. I pray specifically for the man in the back's grandmother who cannot walk, and I pray that your will be done in that situation. I also lift up any of the unspoken prayer requests, and I also just pray for each and every one of the families that are represented here in this room, and I'm so thankful that each and every one of them are here, whether it be in person or online, and I pray that you would just continue to bless this congregation and to bless these families here, and may they leave this place being more encouraged to share the gospel and more forgiving to themselves. Father, I'm just so thankful for the work that you have continued to do in my life, and I just praise you, and I pray for safety for travels as me and Haley go back to ONU, and I pray safety over those who are leaving the churches this morning, and may they arrive home safely and be with us during the rest of our day. I pray all these things in your wonderful name. Amen.
He is jealous for me.
Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves.